welcome to Side Podcast episode 20, News and Views. Before we start, the most important bit of news this week is that Side Podcast now has its own phone number. We want you to call in and tell us what you think about stuff, about the races, about the politics, even about Lewis Hamilton. And we're not just going to sit and listen to it, we're going to try and get it on the show.
So if you want to hear your voice on this here show, your opinions, give us a call.
0121 28 track.
What was that?
That's the number.
What's the number?
The number is 0121 28 87225.
Right. Does it have to be with such an echo and a delay?
Did you not like it?
That's nice.
Should I work harder on my jingles?
The other thing I was going to say is, you know, we were talking about Bernie and his restrictions on Renault's podcast not so long ago. If you happen to attend a race and you take that number, put it in your phone, take it on your contacts list, call us from the race, make sure there's some cars going on in the background, give us a call, we'll play it on the show, see what Bernie has to say then.
Are you trying to get a seat?
Maybe.
It kind of feels like we haven't done any news for ages.
No.
With all these pesky races and events to go to.
Such a pain, isn't it?
Yeah. There's been a lot of fallout from the Monaco Grand Prix.
Hasn't there just?
I think firstly you wanted to apologise or something, didn't you?
Well, during the last podcast, we were discussing the fact that Davidson had a drive-through penalty for holding up Massa. And I kind of wrongly took the side of Massa, who complained that he was held up by Anthony. But it turns out that on the Checo Flag podcast last week, Anthony put his side across.
Well, yeah, the presenter of the Checkered Flag, David Croft, he said he went to Anthony for the true story.
Right.
So, you know, he was taking Anthony's side whilst you were going on the side of the faster car.
Well, if I could have got the true story from Anthony, I'm sure I would have.
Well, Anthony said, I guess he had to make an excuse why McLaren's dominated today. If Michael was in the car, they wouldn't have done. Then he went on to say that Massa was catching him, but he wasn't close enough to let him pass. And his team were on the radio all the time telling him, you know, how far he was and when he would have to. And then all of a sudden he had a penalty. And he said, I think I was made an example of. I think I held the wrong car up. You know what I mean.
I do.
We do know what you mean. He also said that some cars cheated at the first corner by driving through the pit exit, whilst he damaged his nose on Heike's car doing it the right way.
Yeah.
It does look like two spikers and Taku cut the corner and gained some places over both Ralph and Davidson.
Yes.
Because we've seen some video, haven't we?
Is that why Ralph was last?
That's not why Ralph was last.
Oh, was it not? Oh, dear.
And Toyota, I think, agree with me, because Ralph is not having a good season,
is he? He isn't, is he? Nope.
It's not the best car, but really he's not getting the best out of it.
No.
Because Trulli is doing a much better job.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph is one of the highest paid drivers on the grid. He reckons he's one of the top three fastest drivers, and yet he's always at the back.
Yes.
He was 8th in Australia, 15th in Malaysia, rubbish, 12th in Bahrain, didn't finish in Spain, and 16th in Monaco.
Right.
That is not one of the top three drivers, is it?
Not in any car, no. So what have Toyota said about him?
Well, they've put him on a two-race notice, whatever that means.
Ooh, so he must improve them.
Are they really going to fire him?
I don't know. I'd imagine Toyota are a pretty PR-savvy company, and Ralph's getting kind of grief from all comers at the moment. No one's really rating him, and everyone's wondering why he's in the car and why Toyota haven't got rid of him. So I'm thinking maybe it's just a deflection tactic. They'll say, look, he's got two races to improve, and you know, do their best to make sure he has a really good race in Canada and then in Indianapolis. And hopefully he'll do enough, and they'll go, yeah, we'll keep him for the rest of the season. Because I don't see Toyota being the kind of team to try and demolish a driver's career.
But why would they want to keep him if he's costing that much money and not getting the results? It doesn't make sense.
No, but neither did employing him in the first place. Neither did paying him that much money in the first place. And neither did keeping him for the 06 season and for the 07 season. So ours is not the reason why on that one.
After we released the Monaco podcast, it all kicked off with McLaren and their team orders.
Yes.
On Monday morning, the British press went crazy, accusing Ron Dennis of team orders.
They did. Well, you see, I smell a meal ticket going on here. For years and years and years, the British tabloids haven't been interested in Formula One, and there's very little coverage been in the back of their papers compared to, say, the likes of football. And so all of the journalists who get to go out to these Grand Prix and get flown all over the world, their travel packages and their accommodation and their hotel rooms have kind of depleted in quality. So what they really, really, really need in order to up their standard of living is a great British hope, you know, a great British driver to lift the spirits of Great Britain and put them back in the spotlight and get them to get better hotels and all that kind of stuff. And they kind of smell a really good hotel room coming up, you know, the penthouse suite.
That's rubbish. That's all rubbish. They are journalists. That's what they do. They pick up on a story.
Yep.
They pick up on one comment. They twist it out of all belief and then, you know, make a story out of it. It's got nothing to do with what they're having for dinner.
Hasn't it?
The FIA announced they would investigate McLaren for any wrongdoing, which they did. And of course, they found nothing wrong. You wrote a blog entry about Lewis Hamilton because it looked like it might have been some of his comments and maybe Ron's comments that actually sparked the whole thing off.
His big mouth.
And a lot of people had something to say about that.
A lot of people.
That's at the moment, it's at 26 comments.
Right. That's the most ever for side podcasts.
Definitely the most ever. It's a record.
Oh, dear. Am I in trouble then?
Well, I'll just share a couple of thoughts with you. Evan Starr Samus said, you may be right about Lewis. I was one of the few who thought Lewis should have spent 1 year testing for McLaren and have Gary Paffett in the race car. I don't quite know what he said to other reporters and whether they twisted his words, but in the press conference, he didn't seem too disappointed or annoyed.
That is a well-reasoned comment.
Yes. Then Jem said, you strange, strange person.
Which is a great opening line for a comment, isn't it?
Costing McLaren the championship, what on earth is wrong with you? And what's this public belly aching? Have you even bothered to read the post-race press conference and seen Lewis's comments on the matter?
I did.
You seem to think it would be wiser to put a slower driver in the car so that the mighty Alonso can do as he pleases. And your comments about Hamilton's testing are completely unjustified. You have used no evidence at all to back up your outrageous comments. Sad that someone like you should have the opportunity to corrupt people's minds with your biased, narrow-minded trash. Thankfully, real F1 fans do more research and know that your opinion is merely a wild theory from your own brain rather than based on any facts. I love that comment.
I think she likes me.
See, I think that, you know, we all know Hamilton is fast and he's a good driver, but really, he is the number two driver. So if the argument is whether there should be one and two drivers, that's a different argument altogether. That's what I think.
Well, I did start the article. I think my opening line was, I am the only person who thinks this, but... Now, I'll probably, by the time everybody read the bottom of the article, because it was, you know, a number of words, they may have forgotten that kind of initial point. I think it was an important point that I was just trying to think outside of the box for a change. And while everybody else was kind of going on and on about how great Hamilton was, I was just maybe looking to see if there was a chink in his armour.
You see the other side of the story.
Yes.
Exactly.
But apparently a bit of controversy is good because, you know, we were talking about F1 in the blogs a couple of weeks back.
Yes.
And I had two to your one.
Yeah.
Well, I might have got another one. And not only just another entry in F1 in the blogs, but the top entry.
Post of the week. Whatever. Let's move on.
Okay.
Hey, race fans, America's number one motorsport is available like never before. It's the Stock Car Zone, the podcast for race fans with me, your crew chief, Corey Costello. Each week, I'll take you inside my little mental garage for all things stock car racing, from NASCAR Nextel Cup, Busch Series, Craftsman Trucks. If it's NASCAR, you'll find it in the zone. You can even get involved by calling our pit stop line at 1-866-917-RACE. So check it out, Stock Car Zone, the podcast for race fans, available weekly at stockcarzone.com.
A small snippet of news we caught was that ITV have won a Sports BAFTA award.
No, please tell me that's not true.
For their coverage of the 2006 Hungary Grand Prix, the race that Jenson Button won, but Martin Brundle wasn't commentating.
Oh, that is just...
It makes no sense.
Oh.
The only reason they could possibly have won it is because Anthony Davidson was there commentating instead.
Right.
Because, you know, James Allen would not have won that award on his own.
Bring back Murray Walker.
There's more flexible wing filibustering, with the FIA informing teams that they're revising testing procedures again. This time it's about the rear wing, and the test is not just going to simulate forces backwards, but it's going to be vertical as well. And the amount of tolerance is less, which is bad timing because the teams are off for flyaway races and there's not a lot they can do about it if it all goes wrong.
Well, no, but they had to do something because the camera on David Coulthard's car in Barcelona clearly showed the Red Bull rear wing tilting backwards, and they'd found a way to get around the existing FIA tests. So what they've done is add an additional test to bring more load onto the outer edges of the wing mounts. And they're also going to reduce the tolerances, I believe. At the moment, there's a tolerance of about 5 millimeters on the test, and they're going to reduce that down to just 2 millimeters. So all the teams have kind of got to get their act together in a very short amount of time with very little testing and make sure they're within the boundaries of the test.
But Adrian Newey's always getting stuff banned, isn't he? Happened a lot when he was at McLaren.
It's his favourite hobby.
But didn't he, like, design the whole car from his head?
It was mentioned that there was a problem with one of their wind tunnels, and what they were seeing in the wind tunnel wasn't transpiring to what they were seeing on the track. So he kind of picked out all the bits that should have been doing something and weren't, and then redesigned them by hand.
From his experience?
Yeah, from
That's
his head.
That's incredible.
That is, yeah, he's obviously worth every penny he's being paid.
Well, talking of wind tunnels, Spyker are switching on theirs, so maybe they can share with Red Bull.
Right.
It's going to be up and running by the end of June, be 24 hours within a couple of months, so we won't see any results until 2008, probably. Bernie has admitted in an interview this week that Formula One should never have gone to Manicourt in the first place, which is a bit harsh, I think.
That is quite rude.
He's kicked it off the calendar now from 2008, but we don't think it's ever coming back.
No.
I think he wants to go to Paris, doesn't he?
Well, that's what he said. Didn't he say something like, I hate your racetrack and it stinks and it's rubbish and, oh, actually, can we have one in Paris? Which is a great way of making friends and influencing people, I think.
Valencia has been confirmed after all the political shenanigans. We're not saying anything, but the people Bernie wanted to win did get in, so now there's a race. And there's more Silverstone talk as well, isn't there?
Oh, what are they saying now?
Well, Bernie says the government could and should do something to help ensure the BRDC does not lose the F1 event. I don't understand, because I thought he was the one that decides who gets to be in or not.
Well, as I understand it, he wants to charge more and more countries more and more money. He can't go around charging those rich presidents of these countries lots and lots of money if Silverstone aren't paying a similar amount. So he kind of has to up that amount of money in tandem. And I think he also wants to improve the quality of the circuit, which is possibly looking, you know, a little bit run down. And he's looking for the government to step in and help. Again, he's mentioned it before. He does this every couple of years. Likes to stick the boot in and that. But I can't see how he's going to get rid of the British Grand Prix. Can he do that?
Yes. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Tsutomu Tomita, who left as chief of Toyota. He is now the chairman of the Fuji Speedway circuit. But last time, I have to apologise, because last time I got his name the wrong way round.
That's easy to do for a team president.
Yeah.
You know, Dennis Ron, Briatore Flavio, always getting in the wrong way round.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oops.
So whilst Bernie's talking about new places to go, Max is deciding on a new environmentally friendly Formula One, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he's talking about it. He's kind of putting some initial thoughts to the teams to kind of gauge their reactions.
The basic idea is to try and reduce costs, isn't it? Because he was quoted as saying one of the teams uses one-time wheel bolts and they cost $1,200 per piece. At a consumption rate of 1,000 pieces per year, that means $1.2 million only on wheel bolts. The FIA has to correct that sort of insane interpretation of performance focus. I'd like to know what team that is.
Let's just focus on what that is a second. You know when the car comes in the pits and they put the guns on and they yank the bolt out, change the wheels and put the bolt back on?
Yeah.
You're saying that one team is paying $1,200 per bolt.
So like when BMW made that mistake with their wheel gun and the bolt went bouncing off
down the pit lane,
that could have cost $1,200.
Well, I think we can safely say it's not BMW.
They might have been more worried about it. So some of the suggestions that he's put forward are energy recovery systems.
Talking about brakes and engine heat, hopefully try and provide 190 brake horsepower of electrical power surge for overtaking, with the emphasis being on more on efficiency than output.
2.2-litre turbo V6.
Yeah, not too sure on this one. Something to do with bringing it in line with car development, with manufacturers required to provide kind of powertrains to non-manufacturer-based teams if requested.
What's a powertrain?
It's a bit that connects the engine to the wheels.
Fuel flow restriction?
Yeah, biofuels with 10% ethanol. 30% improvement in consumption. Good idea. Useful for bringing Formula One technology to road cars.
Isn't it easy to say, I want a 30% improvement in consumption? Surely it's a lot harder to actually make that happen.
Yeah, I think the theory is the manufacturers can offset the cost of developing those kind of improvements with their Formula One program and then transfer it to their car division, which is a great idea. I'm not entirely convinced that ethanol is really the fuel of the future for cars, though. So why Formula One is wanting to adopt it? Difficult one.
And some aerodynamic restrictions.
Yes, about time on this one. This is basically to increase the show rather than make it more green. But essentially, restrictions on chassis and aerodynamic devices in order to boost overtaking.
He's been having key meetings with all the manufacturers, but not really the independent teams.
Well, obviously the key is on introducing road car development technologies to try and, you know, offset some of that cost. And it's possible that a lot of the independent teams, well, apart from not having a use for the technology, they're not going to be able to afford it. So the focus has definitely shifted onto the manufacturers at the moment.
Ron Dennis says, I don't feel comfortable with regulations designed to favour manufacturers who at any time can stop because it's not their core business. Therefore, to construct Formula One for the manufacturers is fundamentally wrong.
That is a good point because the president of Renault at Monaco was talking about pulling out if they didn't improve their results soon. So that could easily happen.
And Mike Gascoigne said, it could definitely improve the racing and provide variety, but for us, we can't put 5 people and 2 million into it next year because we simply don't have that resource.
No. They don't need it, really. It's not fundamental to winning races, which is, you know, what they're all about.
And Renault disagree a little bit on whether it's going to make it more relevant to the road car because they think they're getting more benefit from their wind tunnel work than from, like, the powertrain or whatever.
And all those aerodynamic bits. That's almost going against exactly what Mosley's saying. So that's interesting. I think Ron also has issues. He raised a good point at some point during the week whereby all the cars and all the teams who are struggling at the moment to win, they're all keen to introduce these new kind of regulations because it might give them a better chance to catch up with the likes of Ferrari and McLaren. Whereas people like himself and Ferrari are less for it because they can obviously win in the cars they have.
Side Podcast is now on Jaiku. If you want all the Flickr, Delicious, Twitter and blog feeds in one place, plus ramblings from me, go to sidepodcast.jaiku.com, J-A-I-K-U. Next week is the Canadian Grand Prix. It's at the Circuit Gilles Villeneuve on the 10th of June, 2.710 miles long, which will be 70 laps. The previous three winners were Fernando Alonso, Kimi Raikkonen and Michael Schumacher.
This is going to be a good one because Hamilton's never raced there, but Alonso's having issues still with his McLaren brakes, and it's a heavy, heavy braking circuit. So given the speed that Hamilton's been able to learn new circuits in the past, it could be an advantage Lewis.
Aren't you interested in Ferrari's bins again?
I'm always interested in their bins. When they were testing a Paul Ricard a little while back, they brought out some kind of new device. You know, they kind of blocked in the rear wheels. They've got these kind of dustbin lids that sit on the inner rims of the back tyres. They've done the same thing on the front, although they're slightly different in the way that they disperse air out of the rims. But might make a significant improvement to their lap times because, again, heavy braking and brake cooling is a major problem at this circuit.
Well, they can only get better from Monaco.
Well, it wasn't a great race with them at Monaco, was it? So maybe they're going to want to bounce back and they're probably the team to watch.
Obviously, this week we've been busy setting up the phone number. Don't forget, 01-2128-87225.
That's
01-2128-87225.
I think I've got it.
But we've also been doing our bit for charity.
Right, we've been spending some money.
Yes. Red Bull have teamed up with Wings for Life. And what you do is you donate £10 and you get your picture on the car. Didn't you put my face on Mark Webber's car?
I did, on the right side pod, because, you know, side podcast and all that. Yeah,
what's
not going to do
the
a
point?
Lap.
It's just going to retire straight away.
It's not going to do more than one lap, but that's okay. I kind of thought, because obviously we're going to be going to Silverstone, and I kind of hope that if it does break down, it will break down somewhere near us, so we can get a picture of it.
But the chances of that are really high, aren't they?
Well, you've got more chance of seeing it parked in the parking lot than you have zooming past you in David Coulthard's car. Anyway, I thought you might bring in some luck.
And we've been making a few changes to the website as well.
You've been busy?
I've set up an events page, which basically combines everything that was good about the photos page, the separate events and the links to Flickr, but includes links to the blog and the relevant shows and all that. So everything you need about the events we go to is all in one place.
And where have we been to?
We go to Autosport every year. We've been to Goodwood once and we'll be going again this year. We went to see the Donington Collection. We went to Silverstone on an off day. We'll be going to Silverstone on a good day. And GP Live, obviously.
Good.
And the forum is gone.
Moved.
Moved.
Not gone.
My mistake.
It's moved elsewhere. It turns out we're not as good at running a forum.
We gave it a shot.
As we thought we might be.
We gave it a shot. We tried our best, but didn't seem to be working out, those damn spammers.
Takes up a lot of time.
So we've moved it over to the best Formula One forum.
That's easy for you to say. Say that again.
Formula One forum.
Right.
Called? Which is formula1.net.
Oh, I love this bit of the show.
So anyway, make sure you check out formula1.net. There's all good stuff on there, plus our own little side podcast section.
Yeah, you'll find us about a third of the way down under, I think it's other sites, and it's sidepodcast.com thread, and all the usual bits and bobs about the latest shows and the things we're doing and places we're going. And don't tell me the phone number's on there,
the
too.
The phone number's on there, of course. Just, do you know what case. That is?
Do tell me.
It's 01212887225.
You say that so eloquently.
So that's it for this week. We want to thank everyone for all the good comments about Lewis Hamilton and everything and on the forum. And of course, if you have comments on anything, call the number. I'm not going to say it again, don't worry.
No.
But we really want to hear what you've got to say, and we want to get you on the show and make it more interactive. So.
We've got to also say a big thank you to everybody who commented on the video. Your Monaco preview seems to have gone down really well.
Yes.
We've got lots and lots and lots of good comments about that. So thank you for everybody.
And make sure you check out the Canada one.
Absolutely. Coming soon.